Well, we have an exciting series. I always like to do a series the first start of the year that's going to help us spiritually and help us grow. And I've been praying a lot through this and studying the Word of God about this particular topic. But we're in a brand new series that I've titled Growing Pains. Growing Pains. As we look at this series called Growing Pains, I started really thinking about growing pains. And growing pains occur in a child's life. Usually, interesting enough, growing pains happen mostly at night. And it's painful. And that child, his rest or her rest is interrupted, so there's no rest. They cry because they don't understand what's happening and they're in pain. Their bones ache, their muscles are sore, and they begin to cramp up. And through that whole process of pain, their body is actually growing and maturing. That's the same thing that happens to us spiritually with God. As you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're a child. And as you begin to grow with the Lord, we all want to grow, amen? We all need to grow, amen? If not you, they're definitely the person next to you. But as you grow and you're asking the Lord, I want to grow, I want to mature, I want to change, you don't realize what you're asking God for. Because the process of spiritual growth, God does through pain. And it's in these painful times in our lives that, like children, we don't understand why we're going through this pain. We don't understand what's going on. We may be crying right now. We may be going through confusion, and things in your life may be hurting right now. But what if I told you that you're just going through some growing pains? And maybe God is maturing you. So for the next month, here in January, I'm going to talk about certain topics that are painful for you to hear, to accomplish, but it's going to benefit the life that God has called you to have. So you guys ready for this series? It's going to be a tough one, but listen, I think sometimes the greatest growth happens through pain in our lives. So we're going to hear a lot of painful messages. But in the end of January, you're going to grow. You're going to be thanking God, and you're not going to be so mad at me anymore. You guys ready for this? Let me pray for this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this series we're about to go through. Father, bring on the pain, knowing that we're going to grow from it. As we go through it, Lord, we thank you because we will go through it. It's not forever. It's not eternal, Father. It's a temporary season in our lives that you choose to bring pain to grow us. Help us to mature. Help us to understand what spiritual maturity really is. As we now mature and we want to grow, we need to grow, Father, to be more like you. Help us to understand this. Apply this series into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you guys can have a seat as we get into the Word of God. As we start part one of our series, Growing Pains. It's painful to grow. But I want to just make it clear to you that as a Christian, as a child of God, your responsibility goes in two areas. You are to reach lost people, you are to reach and be a witness to the world, and you are to be more and more like Jesus Christ every day. That's what spiritual growth is. What are you growing for? The reason you are growing and the reason the Lord calls us to grow is so that we can grow in the image of Christ. In his character and his attitude. That's where spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is defined. See, we get it wrong sometimes because I hear people all the time say, well, Pastor, I feel like I'm very mature spiritually or I'm growing in the Lord. But how do you know you're growing? Really, how do you know you're growing? Do you think you're growing because you know more Bible verses than last year? Do you think you're growing because you were able to tell someone about Jesus Christ? Do you think you're growing because you haven't missed church in a whole month or a Wednesday night Bible study? Man, I'm growing. Look, I look at my no absences. That's awesome. I'm growing. Do you really think that that's what growing is? Because I'll tell you, if that's what you think growing is, then it shows me that you haven't grown at all. Ouch. Because real growth is measured by looking at Jesus Christ, his attitude, his character, and becoming more like him. So maturity is not big Christian words, you know. It's not Bible study verses you memorize. It's not church attendance. It's not long, beautiful prayers. It's not any of that. Because let me tell you something. I know some phenomenal people that are very knowledgeable in the Word of God. And they can. I know one guy that knows the entire book of Psalms by memory. Phenomenal. But even then, that doesn't classify him as mature. Because how many of you know that you can go to church all the days of your life and still be immature? You can know the Bible all you want and still struggle with some character and some personality traits. So real maturity and real growth come and is measured by how you live your life according to Jesus Christ. The more you become like Christ, the more you grow. The more you're maturing. That's what spiritual growth is. So let me tell you, you can be growing and maturing and not know one Bible verse by memory. Because I know a lot of great people in this church that maybe may not be able to tell you where a Bible verse is, but I look at their lives and I say, wow, they're growing. They're maturing. Why? Because their attitudes are different. Their characters have changed. They're becoming more and more like Christ. So even though you may not physically know the Bible too much, or you may not know all the spiritual things or anything, if your attitude is like Jesus Christ, then let me just explain this to you. You are growing in the Lord. This is why we believe in this church, preaching the Word of God, in order for you to become more like Christ. Becoming more like Christ is not so you can brag to other people. It's not so you can say, oh, look, I'm more like Jesus, more than you. No, becoming more like Christ is going to bless your life and those around you. How many of you understand and agree with me? If, for example, if you were married to a guy that was just like Jesus, how awesome would your marriage be? Or if you were married to a wife that was just like Jesus, how awesome would your marriage be? If you raised a family like you were Jesus himself, how would your family be? That's the attitude. If you would go to work just like Jesus would go to your job, how would your job change? That's what it looks like to be like Christ. Are you guys ready for this word? Amen. Growing pains. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. We're going to talk about someone that was going through some serious growing pains. Amazing woman. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And the Bible says, when they had finished eating and drinking, Hannah, this is who we're talking about a woman named Hannah, she stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of her soul, now I want you to read that slowly, in bitterness of soul. What does that mean? It means that she was emotionally bitter, emotionally troubled, emotionally she needed some help. So notice, in bitterness of soul, Hannah just wept. Have you ever been through so much that all you know to do is cry? That's exactly where Hannah was. And notice, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and she prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery. She's saying, God, do you see me right now? Do you see what I'm going through? If you would just look at my pain, my suffering, my misery, and remember me. Why did she say that? Because she felt forgotten by God. Have you ever been in that situation that you're crying and you're going through so much and you're going through so much misery that you just feel like telling God, are you even up there right now? Do you even see what I'm going through? And you just feel forgotten? Well, this is what Hannah was telling God. And not forget your servant. She says, God, don't forget me. But just give her a son. And I will give him to you, O Lord, all the days of my life. No razor will ever be used on his head. She kept praying. Eli, the priest, observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, how long are you going to keep getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. And then she turns around, she says, no, my Lord, Hannah replied, "I'm just a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went on her way when her face was no longer downcast. And early the next morning they arose, they worshipped before the Lord, and they went back home. Elkanah laid with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. In other words, God answered her prayer. God answered her prayer. How many of you need some prayers today to be answered? Whatever it is. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the subject of living a life of honor. Living a life of honor. Here's the truth. Without honor, God can't bless you. Without honor, He can't answer your prayers. Without honor, your life will always be the same, never changing. So it's very important that you pray to God. I understand that. But it's equally as important that you live a life of honor to see those prayers get answered. But living a life of honor is very painful. Let me explain to you why. Hannah was discouraged. The Bible says emotionally she was just bitter and she didn't understand what God was doing because she had no child. So she felt this emptiness. She felt this brokenness as a woman at that time to have no child. It just meant that you were just without purpose, without a reason for existence. So she felt this emptiness in her life, and she kept looking at all the other women, especially this other woman, Peniel, who had all these children, and she kept looking at what everyone else had and what she didn't have, and she kept looking at everyone else being blessed, but she wasn't getting blessed. And here's the thing, as they're eating dinner with the family, she just couldn't eat. She was going through so much depression, she was going through so much anxiety, so much anger, so much bitterness, so much brokenness, that she couldn't even eat, and she was just there, and she just asked to be excused. So here's the thing, she got up, she went to this place of prayer. So she's doing the right thing. In her sadness, in her bitterness, in her grief, she went to God. That's what you got to do when every life is just messing you up. You go to God. So as she goes to God and she's on her knees and she's praying, she went to pray. In other words, Hannah had this real spiritual thing going on, a real spiritual moment. Have you ever had a real spiritual moment that you just felt like worshiping and praying and God was closing? You know what I'm talking about, anyone? Well, that's what Hannah was experiencing. It was a moment that she was just crying and she was talking to God and God was talking to her, and it was just amazing what she was going through until someone ruins it. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. Because this happened to me. It happened last week. I'll talk about it in a minute. But have you ever noticed that when you want to be spiritual and you want to get close to God, all of a sudden stupid people show up? Has there ever been in a place in your life that you're just trying to read your Bible, you're just trying to pray, you're trying to live right, you're trying to do the right thing spiritually, and all of a sudden it takes one person to mess your whole spiritual high? Everyone, you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's what Hannah went through. That's what your pastor went through just last week. Remember that event that we did with the homeless ministry, and we were blessing the families and giving out Christmas presents to the children? Well, my job was to pray for all those families walking by, hundreds of people, just praying and praying and praying. And that was my spiritual moment. I'm there praying, and we're laughing, we're talking to people, ministering to people, we're praying for children and parents, and they're all telling me, "Oh, I need help with this, can you pray for this?" So I felt good as a pastor, like, man, look at me. You know, I just felt like, I was like, wow, look, I'm praying, I'm laying hands. Whoa, yes, this is awesome. And all of a sudden, I was with some of our volunteers. I'm not going to mention their names. And as we're praying, and our church, and they're feeling that spiritual high too. They're like giving out presents and smiling and doing everything. And there was this one volunteer. What? I knew she was trouble when I saw her. Because you never met those real spiritual people, but this just there's just spiritually annoying. You ever met that? Well, yeah, okay. Well, as I'm praying there, she's just there, and I know her. I've known her forever. I know this woman for years, but I just stay away from her because she just, you know. So as I'm praying, she's just there, and then I look around, and we locked eyes, and I'm like, great, she saw me. You know, and she's like, hey, how are you? And she's all happy. And I'm like, hey, you know. And all of a sudden, she's just talking about what God's doing in her life. And I'm like, that's great. And she's quoting Bible verses to me. She's doing all this stuff. I'm like, okay, I get it. You're a Christian. I get it. Yes. But then something interesting happened. As I'm there happy and laughing and smiling and we're all there spiritual, the most interesting thing happens. She says, how are you doing? And I'm good. She's like, so are you still serving the Lord? And I was like, duh, hello, I'm back. You know, and she's like, no, and I go, yeah, I'm a pastor. And she goes, you're still a pastor? I was like, what? And she's like, you still have that little church in the corner? I'm like, little church? What? It's like, yeah. And she's like, I thought you guys would have been closed by now. And I'm like, what kind of Christian are you? And I was like, there's witnesses. I can't do anything right now. But then one of our volunteers, I'm not going to name her, she's heard, and she comes up to me, and she goes, I just want to punch her in the face. And that's a prime example of how one person can ruin your spiritual time with God. With one comment, one action, one word, that's how crazy people can be. That's what Hannah went through. Guys, Hannah was praying to God alone, not bothering anyone, crying, giving it all to God. And Eli, the priest, the man of God, the spiritual leader, the one that should have known better, comes up, doesn't say, hey, are you okay? Doesn't say, how are you? Doesn't say, can I do something for you? Doesn't even ask, why are you crying? Just goes straight up to her and says, why are you drunk? And begins to accuse her of something that she did not do, begins to wrongly judge her, and she begins to tell him all these things. No, I'm not drunk, I promise not. But listen to this. How crazy is it that this man of God just comes and wrongfully judges her? At that moment, Hannah could have just gotten so mad. She could have gotten so offended. She could have just been so angry and told them off and said, what kind of man of God are you to be judging me? You don't know me. How dare you do this to me? How dare you say this about me? Do you think you're perfect? I'm here crying. I'm here suffering. And you're selfishly accusing me. But she did not. And I thought about us as a church. Because I wonder how many people like Hannah have let you down. How many people have maybe wrongly judged you or maybe insulted you. People who should have been more sensitive to your needs. People that should have been more sensitive to your desires and your well-being. And one of the saddest truths about all these people is the people you least likely expect, they're the ones that hurt you the most. This was a man of God who should have been there for her, that who should have made sure she was spiritually and emotionally and physically okay, but he messed up because everyone messes up. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a priest, whether you're a man of God, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a Christian for years, Christian for 1 year, not a Christian at all, if you are a human being, you will mess up and hurt someone's feelings. And it's unexpected. It might have been, yeah, maybe someone in the church, like Eli, that hurt you. Maybe it was your parents who should have had your best interest in your childhood, who should have looked out for you, but instead, in their selfishness, they've hurt you, and you think you're a product of their doing right now. Maybe it's the spouse you're married to right now. And they should have honored their vows, and they should have their best interest in mind for you, and they should be there for you and care for you, but right now, their actions are just hurting you. You see, like Hannah, there's going to be people in our lives that will wrongly, maybe not on purpose, maybe on purpose, hurt you. And it may be at a time where you're trying to get close to God. As I'm reading this, you want to know what I think happened? Say what, Pastor? What? Sorry, go ahead. Okay, I want to know you're listening. Hannah's praying. How many of you pray? All right, good. How many of you ever prayed for the Lord to change a situation in your life? Pray for the Lord to change a person in your life? I mean, you're just praying for the Lord to change you, all right? Change. You're just saying, Lord. So you're praying, right, like Hannah. And she's like, God, I'm just miserable. I'm tired of not having, I'm trying to have a baby. I can't have a baby. She's there praying, and she's all discouraged. And she's like, Lord, if you would just answer my prayer, if you would just give me a child, if you would just do this, I vow to you, I'm going to serve you with him. And right, and she's praying this amazing prayer. And I think at that moment, God said, okay, Hannah, I want to bless you, but first I have to test you. Did you listen to that? Do I have to rewind that one? Because in order for God to bless you, he first has to test you. What does he test you? To see if you can handle the blessing. So she's there praying this awesome prayer. You ever prayed a prayer that you didn't even think about? And you're saying, Lord, I will just serve you forever. If you just answer this one prayer for me. So she's praying to God. And I think God said, okay, I'm going to answer this prayer, but first I need to test you. Hey, Eli, go over there and ask her if she's drunk. Could it be that maybe God led Eli to test her? Because maybe God is allowing that person in your life to test you so that you can grow. But the person he sent is a pain. And you're praying, Lord, I want to change. And he's like, yeah, here's the opportunity. Here's your pain. Oh, no, but I want to be more like you. Awesome. I want you to be more like me. Here's that person that's going to test you. Did Jesus not have opposition? Was Jesus not insulted? Was Jesus not falsely accused? So why do we get mad when we go through that? It could be that God has allowed you to go through what you're going through with the person you don't want to go through it with because he's testing you for a blessing. So at that moment, Hannah's praying, and there goes God sending her a pain. Eli, accusing her, messing her up. And how she reacts will determine whether God can answer her prayer or not. In fact, what do you do when a person like that comes into your life? What do you do when you have a pain in your life? What do you do when you have a person that you're trying to tell God to change or a situation you're trying to tell God to change and God said, I want to change it, but first I have to test you in order to bless you? What do you do with all these people? Well, the Bible teaches us clearly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it's a painful verse. It is God's will. Not suggestion, will, desire, that by doing good, you should silence the what? The ignorant talk of foolish people. People are foolish, are they not? And they're ignorant. I mean, go on Facebook and see it for yourself. And social media and what people say. And it's no surprise that out there in your life will be a person that is foolish and ignorant. But look what God says to do. God says, it is my will that you do good in order to silence them. How do you silence a person? By your actions. By proving them wrong through your life. Notice what he says next in verse 16. Live as free men. But don't use that freedom as a cover for evil. Live as servants of God. That's what servants of God do. They do good to silence the fools and the ignorant people. And verse 17. Show proper what? Respect to, painful word, everyone. Can we all say everyone?
Everyone.
Like you mean it, everyone?
Everyone.
You know who that means?
Everyone.
The person you work with. The person you're married to. The person you're raising. The person you don't like. The person you have every reason not to like. The person that doesn't like you. God says, respect everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. God says, hey, especially Christian people, love them. I think why he say that, because I think Christians sometimes are the hardest to love. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. And here's the hardest one. Honor the king. You think, well, why is that one so bad? Well, let me explain to you. When Peter wrote this, that word king, he was referring to government. And at that time, the government was persecuting Christians. The government was killing off any believer, burning them alive, destroying their homes, killing innocent children, enslaving other Christian people. And you had every right to be mad at the government. But when Peter wrote this letter, he said, listen, honor them. And when they read that letter, I'm sure they say, no, this must be a mistake. He might have written this wrong. How can we honor someone that took away our family? How can we honor someone that killed everyone else? How can we honor someone that has brought so much pain, so much dishonor, so much just craziness? How can we honor them after what they've done to us? It was very difficult for any Christian at that time to read this, because it was like me telling you right now, hey, I want you to honor the person that has hurt you the most in your life. Whoever that is. Who's the person that you're the reason you don't trust anyone anymore? That person that made you cry every day for years. That person that took everything from you. That's what Peter was saying. Honor them. Is that not painful? Oh, I can honor anyone that's honored me. I can love anyone that's loved me. But see, that word honor in the Greek just means to value. To respect and value. By how you treat them. See, people might treat us like we're worthless. But God says, I want you to treat them like they're worth everything. And I'm sorry, church, that's hard. Even for me, and I'm your pastor. God said here, I respect the king. We live in such a society that has no honor anymore. We don't honor our word, we don't honor people, we don't honor government, we don't honor authority. And here's why honor is so important. Because you may have a person in your life that's difficult to honor. It might be difficult to treat them with respect and value. Because of all the pain they've caused you, because of all the sadness and the anger and the stress caused by them and their selfish actions. And yet God says, treat them with value and respect. Honor them. See, that's what spiritual maturity is. It's measured by how you treat people. If you want to be mature in the Lord, if you want to find out how mature you are, examine how you've been treating others lately. Don't tell me how many Bible verses you can quote, how many times you've read the Bible, how great you can sing those songs. Tell me how you treat people, and I'll tell you how spiritually mature you really are. Growing pains, everyone. Welcome to church. It's hard. But that's how you measure maturity. It's when you know you love God when you love the loveless. You know you love God because, man, if it wasn't that I was a Christian, right? If you would have done this back in the day, you know what I'm talking about. Ooh, child, you're lucky I'm saved. But that's how you know you love God. Because you love people. God says, you want to know the greatest commands? Love God, love others. That's it. Love God, love others. Why? Because if you love God, naturally, you're going to love others. It's that simple, but painful. And it's going to cause you to grow. When God puts a person like he did in Hannah's life, it might be him trying to grow you. It might be someone in this church right now, someone in your home right now, someone in your place of work, somewhere in your family that you said, I don't know how I can take this person. And God said, if you want to be blessed, you better take them. If you want to grow, you better suck it up and you better respect them and value them and honor them. You say, well, why? It's not right. It's not fair. Aren't you grateful for a God that chose to honor us when we were in sin? And God says, when the same love you've received, now you pass it on to others. You might be asking, well, why should I live with honor? Why should I treat them with value and respect? Well, here's the thing. If I told you why, which I am, just wait. But here's the interesting thing about living a life of honor. It actually blesses you more than it does that other person. What, you think God... Listen. You think God is telling you to honor them because he wants to make their life easy and blessed? You know why God is telling you to honor them? Because he wants to honor you. And he wants to bless you. Here's some proof of this. Well, you might be saying, well, why do I want to live a life of honor? No one honors me. No one values me. No one appreciates me. But God says, listen, number one, honoring others will bless you more than it does them. Here's an example. I have couples left and right for years as a pastor say, Pastor, we want a blessed marriage. We're praying for a better marriage. Do you understand what you're praying for? That's hard work. That's talk about growing pains. Growing a spiritual marriage is a lot of painful things happening at the same time. But imagine right now, that you lived the life of honor in your marriage. In other words, no matter what they do, your husband or your wife, you treat them with value. Mind you, they offended you. They hurt your feelings, Papa. They hurt you. Oh, and they didn't listen to your needs. But you say, you know what? I'm still going to treat them with value. Can you imagine if every word that came out of your mouth in your marriage was honorable? That you spoke value into your wife, you spoke value into your husband, instead of cursing at them and bringing them down and making them feel worthless. But every word and every action reminded them how valuable they were to you. Can you imagine when you're by yourself, but you live a life of honor towards that marriage, you're going to be careful where you look. You're not going to do a double take. You're going to watch what you say. You're not going to go have lunch with the opposite sex. You're not going to be texting the opposite sex because you honor your marriage. Imagine that. So then if you do all of that, how would your marriage be different? Imagine if you were married to a man or a woman that I just described. Wouldn't you want to just give everything to that person because of how they treat you? Then who's being blessed? Them or you? The Bible calls us to honor our spouses. You're asking why your marriage is crumbling and find out, do I honor them? If you're a child under the authority of your parents, the Bible says to honor your mother and your father so that it will may go well with you. Not your parents, you. And long life. Imagine if you were a child under the authority of your parents and every time they told you to do something, you did it and you respected them and their rules and you just respected them at all times. How blessed would your life be? They will trust you more. They will give you more freedom. And you think what? That they're the lucky ones? No, you are. Because you're living a life of honor. Here's my favorite. What if, big what if, we were honorable employees? You're like, oh no. But what if, because you honor God, and work starts at 9, you're there at 8:50. Because some of you are, okay, it's not 9 yet, I'm not going in the door. And what if when you're at work, you actually do work? It's during work hours, you're on Facebook. What are you doing? And when customer comes, you treat them like garbage. But imagine now you're an honorable person. And you go to work on time. And when you're at work, you do work. And you're honest and you're respectful towards your boss and all your co-workers. You're not talking bad about other employees. You're not talking bad about your boss. You're careful to do what's right at all times. Wouldn't your boss be blessed to have you as an employee? And guess what happens? Sooner or later, they note that and you get a promotion. Who then gets blessed? Them or you? My point is this. When you live a life of honor, God will honor you. When you have a family of honor, when you have a work ethic of honor, everything you say, everything you do towards others, yourself, anything is honorable towards God. God will bless you. Why? Because God says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But the thing is, when I honor others, it honors God. And when it honors God, he has to naturally own up to his word and honor me. It's like this amazing triangle. Some of you are just living a line. You think it's just you and God and God and you. But God says, no, it's me, it's you, and others. And as you honor them, it honors me. And because you honor me, I'll honor you. And if you keep honoring them, it's going to keep honoring me. And if you keep honoring me, I'm going to keep honoring you. Do you guys get it today? It all has to do with honor. Number two, did you know that living a life of dishonor will hinder your prayer life? You're praying and you're praying and you're praying. Say, God, please answer my prayers, and Lord, please, I want to just do this, I want to do this, I want to receive this. And you're praying, you're saying, God, it's not working. I keep praying, but nothing's happening. Maybe God is not answering your prayers because you're not living a life of honor. Look at what 1 Peter 3:7 says. And it's living proof in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. That same word respect is a word we get honor from. Treat them with respect. As the weaker partner. You know why Peter wasn't insulting women. But he was just telling the guys there, listen, even if she's wrong. I know the guys are like, amen. But you didn't finish the whole thing yet. Even if they're the weaker one, the wrong one, even the one, you're right. He says, treat them with respect. As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. So that nothing, what? Will hinder your prayers. Is that not amazing? That the way I treat my spouse will determine how God can answer my prayers? How many right now are freaking out because you're like, oh my gosh. You mean to tell me the way I treat other people will determine how God can answer my prayers? I didn't say it. He did. Right there. So let's not work on prayer. Let's work on treating people right. So that when you begin to treat people right and with respect, listen, it doesn't even mean people you're close with. We're talking about total strangers too, whether you're driving, whether you're in shopping, whoever it is. If you ever get offended, just say the word honor, 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 honor. Please honor. Watch how it blesses your life. I did it this week. It works. Trust me. It says honor them so that your prayers will not be hindered. So when God says, again, treat them with respect and value so that it honors me and I honor you. Number three, when I live a life of honor and it honors other people, when I treat people with respect and with love, when I honor God, did you understand this? That when you begin to live a life that honors others, it allows you to encounter the power of God and miracles. You don't understand. People tell me all the time, Pastor, I don't feel God anymore. Nothing's happening in my life. I go to church. I pray. I read my Bible. I don't know what's wrong. That might be you today. Let me tell you what's wrong. It might be the way you're living a life and how you're treating other people. If you want to experience the power of God in your life, start treating people right. And watch what God does. Let me read to you this interesting story in the Bible. Because I don't want you guys leaving this church and saying, well, I don't know where it said that in the Bible. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus goes to this town, his hometown. And everyone just rejected him because they saw him as Jesus the carpenter, not Jesus the Son of God. So they began to dishonor him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown among his relatives and his own house is a prophet without what?
Honor.
Without honor. So when he goes to this town, by the way, he went to that town so that he could perform miracles and heal and do great things. How many want God to do great things in your life?
Amen.
Maybe you need healing today. Maybe you want to see God do some work. You want to see God move in your life. Here's the interesting thing here. He says, he could not. Can we all say that together? Verse 5, he what? He could not. He could not. What's the difference? It's not that he wouldn't, he couldn't. He could not do any miracles there. Except lay a few hands on some sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Are you guys getting this morning? Jesus went there to perform miracles, big ones. But the Bible says that he could not. Why? Because the people there lived with no honor. They treated Jesus with such dishonor that he says, I can't. I can't. He didn't say, I won't. He says, I can't. And the reason why is interesting. In verse 3, this is why. The Bible says that the people began to ask, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? So they began to talk bad about him. See, because when you live with dishonor, you just live to slander people. You love to God, you just love to talk about people. And they took offense to him. You know why God can't do anything in your life? And I say why he can, not why he won't, why he can't. So why are your prayers being hindered? Why God can't work in your life? Because you take on offense. And you live without honor. 2016 might be the year of offense for you. Notice the Bible says they took offense. What's the difference? You're going to be offended. Amen? You're not ever going to be in a position where no one's going to offend you. Both great and small will offend. But the difference is, will you take it? In other words, that word take in the Greek leaves, it means to hold to. So when you hold on to offense, when you hold on to a grudge, when you hold on to it, it makes you bitter, resentful. And when you're bitter and resentful, it's impossible for you to honor them. So you're so caught up in holding on to offense that it's preventing you from honoring them. And because you're not honoring them, because God forbid you're offended, God then can't honor you. I'm not saying don't be offended. You will. I'm saying don't take on to it. Don't hold on to it. How different would their lives have been if they would have treated Jesus rather than being offended by him? They would have honored him. They would have valued him. They would have treated him with respect. Jesus would have performed mighty miracles. But the Bible says he couldn't because of their lack of honor. Can 2017 be the year you live with honor? That the Lord begins to just answer your prayers and the power of God begin to just demonstrate itself, that you see the miracles happen, that things begin to change and work for your life, that your family gets restored and healed, and you see the blessings of God come down in your life because you choose to live a life of honor rather than choosing to live a life of offense. But guess what? As I'll close with this, it's painful. Honoring others is painful. Because you might be thinking, well, what about my needs? What about my feelings? What about what they did to me? But here's what God says. I got you. They might not care about you. I do. Just keep honoring them. Even if they don't change, keep honoring them. Even if they offend you, don't hold on to that offense. You keep honoring them. Treat them with respect. Treat them with every word that comes out of your mouth. Let it honor them and not belittle them. Everything I do, everything I say, will bring honor to everyone around me. And when I do that, it brings honor to God. And when I bring honor to God, he brings honor to me. So maybe 2016 might have been a year that you're saying, man, I didn't feel God, and my life is falling apart, and my marriage is crumbling, my family's divided, and my prayers aren't being answered, and you're I don't understand, it's not working. Pastor, I think you're broken, it's not working, I don't understand it. I go to church, I read the Bible, I do all of that. But let me ask you this question and just think to yourself. Have you been living a life of honoring others? If the answer is not yes, then there is the answer to why your prayers and the power of God in your life is being hindered. Because how I treat others will determine what God can do for me. But that's hard. You guys want to grow? You go out there and stop holding on to offense. Stop holding on to the past. Stop holding on to the wrong they did. Stop putting it against them. Because what does it benefit you to live a life of dishonor? What has it done? Name me one person that says, man, ever since I've been dishonoring my spouse, my marriage is awesome. It's great. I mean, we can't keep our hands off each other. We dishonor so much. Tell me any child that says, man, ever since I just stopped respecting my parents and I just dishonor them, it's awesome. You know, I'm just, my life has been amazing. I mean, pastor, it's great. I'm punished all the time. I'm always grounded. My phone's being taken away. They don't trust me. Praise God. Oh man, ever since I chose to live a life of dishonor at work, it's awesome. It's great. I have all this time off now because I'm fired. God is good. I wanted a vacation. Dishonor will not bless you. But living a life of honor does. Here's my question, my first question of 2017. Why do we feel so entitled? That everyone should just never offend you, never hurt you. Everything needs to be your way and done your way. And we go into all these relationships with entitlement. We go to the job with entitlement. We go to church with entitlement. But why not make a change for yourself and your life and start saying, it's not about me, it's about them and God. And you get over yourself, you get over your needs, you get over what you want, what they haven't done for you, and just live 2017 about God and others. And in turn, God's going to live all for you. See, yesterday, when I was at the park, this guy, I was driving, and this guy stops me in the road, and he says, hey, can you help me out? He looked tired, and obvious. He had 7 kids. But he comes up to me and says, I need your help. My car is dead. And I've tried all these other cars, and I've tried all these, and he's complaining, I've tried all these cables, and nothing's working, and I saw you, and I saw your truck, and I said, oh, I need a bigger car. Yeah, I need a bigger car. Can you help me? And I said, fine. And when we plugged in, and we connected, we did all of that stuff, nothing. And he said, I don't know what it is with everyone's cars. And I looked at him, I was like, did you check your car? No, it's fine. Isn't that just people? Everyone else is the problem. Everyone else is wrong. Nothing works because it's all messed up. And God's like, but what about you? And when I looked at his battery, the positive and the negative had corrosion in it. So I said, there's your problem. So I took the corrosion off, plugged them back in, and his car started in less than a second. And the Lord spoke to me there and says, that's your church. And in that park, I cry for you. I don't cry much. But I wondered how many of you, 2016, and before then, has been a life of you being connected to God, but yet still being powerless. Connected to God, but going nowhere. Connected to God, but stuck. Because your heart has corrosion. you've corroded it with offense and bitterness. You corroded it with how you're dishonoring people and how you dishonor God with your actions and your lifestyle. And yet we sit here in our dead, empty lives, connected to God, because He was connected to my truck, but there was no power. You're saying nothing works. But what if God's saying, if you would just choose honor, my power will flow so quick, it will resurrect your life. It will change everything. Stop blaming everyone. Stop excusing it. Stop justifying it. And tell the Lord to cleanse you of any corrosion that has stopped the flow of God's power in your life. I don't want to be connected and powerless. Do you? So make a vow today. It's a new year. That this year will be a year that you live with honor, because you are a child of God. You will speak honorable words. You will treat others with honor. Honor will be in your family. Honor will be in your home. Isn't it interesting that because Hannah did not take offense to Eli's words, but kindly, respectfully corrected him, Eli was taken back by it. And he said, may God answer your prayers. And God did. Because she passed the test. So what is this year going to look like for you? Are you just going to stay stuck, dead? But hey, guess what? You're connected. I'm not questioning whether you're connected to God or not. I'm questioning is if you're experiencing the power of God that comes when you honor Him and others above yourself. You guys received this morning?
Amen.
It will bless you, I promise. That I'm going to sit here come 2018 or the bigger building. I'm praying for that. But I'm going to sit with you and you're going to be, man, Pastor, 2017 was awesome. My family got back together. I got promotions. People actually like me. Pastor, I have friends. My life has been blessed. I have peace. I have joy. Ever since I chose not to hold on to offense, but to live with honor and honor God in what I do and honor others and how I do what I do with them. Treat everyone with value. Treat everyone with respect. And watch what God does for you. Let's all stand. As we start this new year, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to examine yourself last year as we go through these growing pains. You might be like Hannah. You're telling God, I want you to answer my prayers. I want to see you change my situation. I want to be blessed. And God says, I want to bless you, but I first have to test you and how you treat this person I'm about to put in your life. They're going to insult you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to falsely judge you. They're going to hurt your feelings. You're going to get angry. You're going to get bitter. But if you treat them right, I'm going to treat you right. And when Hannah chose not to be offended, but she chose to respect Eli, God then said, Hannah, you passed. And she was blessed. Is that what your life looks like? Or are you connected to God but powerless? Connected to God but going nowhere? Connected to God but stuck in the same habit, the same sin, the same problems? Then make a vow before the Lord that 2017 will be a year of honor. No matter how offended you get, how wrongly you're judged, You're going to bring honor to God by bringing honor to them. And watch how it changes your life and your marriage and your children and any other place that the Lord positions you in. If you're here today, I want to pray with you if this is your promise to God, that this year will be a life that you're going to live of honoring people. If this is you, you put that hand up right now and say, Pastor, I want to live my life with honor. And as Frankie closes with this song of worship, if you're saying, Pastor, I'm going to vow today, I want you to take this prayer very serious. I want you to come to this altar today to get you all ready for 2017. You come forward as she sings this. If you're declaring to God this would be a year of honor, you tell the Lord right now in confession where life has not been honoring, where you have not been honoring. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm just living a life connected but not powerful, then there's something wrong. And it may be in how you're treating others. And I want you to take a moment there with the Lord. And I want you to just examine yourself to see whether God can honor you or not. And maybe this is why your prayers haven't been answered. Because God knows you're not ready to be blessed. Because you keep failing the test. The test of offense. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, you see everyone here in this altar today. And in this room today. Lord, we need to grow. I pray for everyone here that you may cause them to grow and mature in you, Lord, and how they treat others. For those who offend us, for those we don't get along with, for those we may not like too much, for those who have hurt us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give them the power they need to not take offense, not to hold on to bitterness, but to treat everyone with honor, so that you may then honor us, Lord. Through our actions, through our words, let the way we honor everyone be a testimony of how much we honor you. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for any moments, Lord, that we were just dishonoring in how we treated others and what we said. And I pray, God, for every marriage in this church, for every single person in this church, for every child under the authority of a parent, for every co-worker, for every person here today or listening online. Father, give us the strength and the anointing that it takes to live a life of honor and respect and value, putting our needs aside and only looking to the needs of others as we honor you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys were blessed by that today. Is 2017 going to be a better year?